So today we're going to be delving into this concept that some of you might be familiar with, but some of you might not. It might be just brand new to you. See, over the past decade or so, there has been a stirring in our Christian faith. We have witnessed an uprising of voices that have been engaged in this term that we call deconstruction of faith. Has anybody heard of the deconstruction movement? Talk back to me. I need help today. Talk back to me. Yes, 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 yes. Can I get that water too, please, behind you? It's a journey that many have begun. And it's driven by questions, it's driven by doubts, and often disillusionment with our faith institutions and some of our traditions, things that have basically shaped our understanding of faith. And we have gotten this faith and traditions probably from, you know, watching our family, being a part of a family church, or watching people on TV preach the word. We start to gain our foundation of our faith from different places. But I want to just start with the understanding of what deconstruction looks like at its roots. So deconstruction at its root was a philosophical term. A term that was about literary analysis. And it was one that was meant to question the fundamentals and distinctions and oppositions in the Western philosophy. And you can see all of this in humanities and in social sciences, but it was not limited to over the past, since 1960s, we have seen that it has gone into other realms like law, psychoanalysis, architecture, anthropology, and theology. Now, amongst this whole wide range of studies, the thing, of course, that stood out to me is because something that is a part of our faith is the theology part. It made it to the list. However, it wasn't until around maybe 2010, that the presence of deconstruction concerning our faith actually started to become a movement. We have to understand that our faith journey, that this deconstruction does not actually mean demolition. It means breaking down or analyzing something to discover its true significance. The process of this deconstructing, critically questioning, examining, and often dismantling some of beliefs and traditions that we hold dear. It comes from a place of introspection and extrospection. It can feel like peeling back layers of a vintage car. Each layer is revealing something new, something deeper. Something deeper about our faith, something deeper about even the world around us. And as necessary as this process may be for some, it often leads to this crossroad. It leads to a crossroad that there is a path veering towards skepticism and abandonment of faith, and the other perhaps is the one that's less traveled, and that's the one towards reconstruction. It's a place, this is the place or the juncture at which our new series, Reconstructing Faith, finds its center. Why reconstruct? The answer does not lie in our rejection of questioning or doubt. After all, those are the foundations, and they are a part of deep and genuine faith journeys. However, reconstruction is more about recognizing that at the core, our desire should not be to just discard, but to discover or rediscover a yearning of faith that is more authentic, more resilient, and is more aligned directly with the truth of God's word. See, we don't add anything and we don't take anything away. Deuteronomy 4:2 told us about that. Now, I want us to just look at this quick little illustration. For those of you who don't know, I love vintage things. And, of course, you see a vintage car there. But it's another vintage car that I would like for it to come up on the screen. I always said that if I had enough money, I will rebuild a vintage car. I don't have anyone in particular, but a 1969 Camaro would be nice, you know? I wouldn't mind. But like I said, when I look at reconstruction, my mind just goes to old vintage cars and taking the vintage car from a salvage yard to bring it back, restore it back to its original place. Can I see that vintage car, rusted vintage car on the screen really quick, please? It should be in the slide, the one in this. I don't want you to go searching for another one. I had to work really hard to find the Camaro. No, that's the that's the one that's already restored. Oh, okay. So let me explain this car to you. So it's a 1969 vintage car, and it's been completely stripped of all of its paint due to weathering, due to just neglect, and it has so much rust on it. It still has its, you know, white wall tires and everything, but you can see it's a lot of damage. It has taken a lot of abuse. It has gone through a lot of storms. But the thing about the car is that its foundation is still strong. But before we can go ahead and put on our new fancy coat of paint or some nice upholstery inside or a nice sound system, we have to go through the process of rebuilding, of repairing, of restoring to get back to its original condition. See, sometimes our faith can be like a vintage car at times. Sometimes it can be worn down. Things can be placed upon it that were not life-giving or causes it to rust because of man-made traditions or belief systems or posts. That's it. Okay. Thank you. That is the car. That is the car. That is the car. That is the car. As you can see, foundation is still strong. The structure is strong. But what we have to do now is to rebuild. And we might also encounter some dents like that, which might be church hurt. We might experience some imperfections, some of our personal failures and setbacks along the way. And unfortunately, just like thousands of discarded vintage cars filling up junkyards across the world, we can find those in our faith who have abandoned their faith after stripping back all the layers, but not making it to the process of reconstruction. But see, if our faith is founded upon God's word, we have the right tools, we can stand against the test of time and keep rebuilding to get to the true intent of our faith by our manufacturer, God. Now we can see that restored car, the Butte. Yes! Getting back to the place where not only that you are restored from the outside, but the inside as well. And just like the vintage car, before we can get to this point, we have to start from the inside out. Because God is not concerned with our outer appearance that others see. He wants to address the hidden things, the things that distract us from his word. Sometimes that takes us challenging our traditions. Sometimes it takes challenging our heart posture. And sometimes it challenges the way that we actually live out the word. So we're going to just go back and look at the scriptures And we're going to start with Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew 15 through 9. Here, it presents us with a Jesus who is not afraid to question traditions and how they have completely taken the focus off of God's commandments. He shows us a faith that is that needs to be reconstructed, not from the outside in, based on man's traditions and expectation, but from the inside out. Can we go ahead and read this together, starting with 1? Then the scribes and Pharisees, who are from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your mother and mother,' and whom you curse is your father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whatever is prophets.'" Then he and his are under the Father. Hypocrites, why did you say, these people draw names in my name with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and the name they worship me, teaching them."
To give a better context of what is taking place in the first part of this scripture, Jesus' notoriety has become widespread. The scribes and Pharisees travel from Jerusalem to Galilee to see Jesus, no doubt just to seek Jesus out and see if seek Jesus out because of the Jewish authorities. Just to clarify for certain Jesus' positions on the issues that they found to be important. At some time, they observed the disciples doing what they considered to be an onslaught on their tradition, and they questioned Jesus, the rabbi. It says, Matthew 15 and 1, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat.'" Now, for some of us, you know, you're like, yeah, you should wash your hands. That's not clean. You should wash your hands before eating. It's not only something that we expect to happen, but it's also one of those things that we're like, for hygiene purpose, please wash your hands. However, it says something that stands out, the reasoning why, and it says the traditions of the elders. So it was a tradition that the elders created that had to be followed. Now Mark 7, 2 through 3 gives us a more insight to help readers like you and me to understand the background of the Jewish faith around this practice and to understand the weight of what this stated controversy was. It says, "Now when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled," that is, with unwashed hands, "they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash." Defiled, meaning unclean or profane. The scribes and the Pharisees taught that food at the marketplace can be unclean either by the hands of the buyer or the seller. We'll get back to defilement in detail a little later, but for now I'm going to focus on the issue at hand, which is the tradition of the elders. This was a series of rules meant to contribute to the ceremonial laws of the Jews. However, authority was not supported by scripture. It was oral traditions based on interpretations of the law. We see that even today. We have to be so careful about the way in which we interpret scriptures. Like the Pharisees, if not properly interpreted, we can create systems and traditions that were not intended by God. They washed their hands ceremoniously to remove defilement, if that was even possible. Now, in the next text, we see Jesus challenged by his disciples' behavior. Since he was their rabbi, he would be judged and responsible for how they behave in public, how they behave in general. Kind of like if somebody sees you out in the world and you promote on your social media that I am a part of Emerge Berkeley. And what happens is that once we're out there, we're seeing that we're a member of this church, they come back and then they look at us. They look at the pastors and say, did you know that your member was doing this? Let me show you the receipts. See the receipts? Your member was out doing this. And so in a way, Jesus responds as a rabbi should. I always, and I shared this with our Connect group leaders yesterday, I always think that Jesus is the ultimate king of clapback, because his response has just cut you. And his response was a question in itself. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? The Pharisees did not expect the response that they received, nor were they ready for the next remarks that were coming out of Jesus' mouth to expose them, to expose their own transgressions. Matthew 15, 4 through 6, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God, a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made a commandment of God of no, the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. Jesus is referring here to a practice where people would dedicate their possessions to God. They could use their finances basically for themselves and not to help those in need. See, if a parent needed money at the time, children can excuse themselves from helping because they'll say that my resources are dedicated to God. Now, this trickery kept people from honoring their parents and taking care of their parents in their old age. To withhold from one's parents what could give help to them because of what the rabbis taught, this became greedy and hypocritical. The error was not so much in just using money on oneself or donating it for a good cause, but it was failure to give to a needy parent. They had chosen to directly violate the commandment to honor thy mother and thy father. And Jesus says, yet you condemn others for not following your traditions? And you can't even follow the commandment of God? See, it's easy to follow in a way of the traditions that we have. It's easy to do things the same way that our parents have done things and how we've seen things or how our mentors or people that we look up to have done things. Yet we can miss God in the entire process. Every tradition in faith or otherwise should be weighed against the word of God. In this next text, Jesus goes a little deeper. He starts challenging the underlying issue that is here. Their heart posture is just not sold out to God, and merely everything that they're doing is lip service. If we go back to Matthew 15, 7 through 9, he actually is repeating what Isaiah said. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw to me with their mouth and honor me with their, what? But their hearts are, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Other words, they give nice lip service. People see them. People honor them for that position. On the outside, they look perfect. That's what Christianity looks like. Well, back in that day. That's what the law of God looks like. They even appear to be in complete alignment with God. But as he said, your heart is far from me. The downfall is that their traditions became doctrine, and their doctrine was spread out. There was a portion that I didn't put in here, but there was a portion of the scripture where it talked about how Jesus had to even call the people who were around him and try to teach them that this is not the way. What you are seeing before you is not the way the law of God. It's not the way of God. We have to understand that people take the Bible and then, you know, they interpret it and they come up with their traditions or come up with their doctrines, and they say, this is word. And most of the time, people are taking parts of scripture and not the whole context of the scripture, breaking it down, allowing scripture to witness to scripture. And if the word is not properly contextualized, and it becomes a doctrine, it can be devastating to a Christian walk. Interesting enough, when I was studying, I came across how the Hebrews would teach. They were intentional about refraining from giving interpretation of the Torah because they didn't want to influence the thoughts of the future generation that was not alignment with God's word. Now, today we have plenty of books, right? We have different variations of the Bible. I always tell you guys, I'm a King James baby, but for you guys, I tried to do the New King James, even though some of you guys are ESV, NSB, did I say NS? NASB, NIV, NLT. We have all of these different versions of the Bible, right? Some Bibles we can even get that are topical. Some are written in languages that fit the culture that it's trying to reach. However, just I want you to, while you are journeying through your Christian walk, is that not all interpretations are directly from God's word, as we see with the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, get this, I am not saying to you to throw out your study tools. They are necessary. You just need to make sure that what you have is focusing on the scriptures, what the scripture is saying, dissecting the scripture, and not so much weighing into their interpretation of what the scripture may mean. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 13, he says that he says he answered up when one of the disciples, Peter, asked a question about why the Pharisees kind of think the way that they do and things like that. And he says to them, but he says to them, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Every plant, every tradition, every doctrine that was not planted by God will be uprooted. Other words, that everything not established by God will be pulled up and removed. What we want to do while we're going through our reconstructing phase is to our process, not phase, going through a reconstructing process, if that's something, a journey that you are taking, is to make sure that what you are choosing as foundational, as your foundation in God, your foundation in Christ, is to make sure it aligns with the Word of God. If it does not, discard it. Now, going back to the initial cause of this whole accusation in the public by the Pharisees, we see this issue of defilement. Matthew 15, 16 through 20, so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? He's talking to Peter at this time. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes out the stomach and then is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So here it is. He's putting everything into in perspective here. He's telling them, he's already communicated with the Pharisees, their error. He's already communicated with the public, the things that were in error to try to stay away from. And now he is still talking to his disciples and telling them, this is what true defilement is. This challenges tradition at its core in this part. God is saying that I need to see your heart. I see what you're showing me. It's pretty. Back in the day, they used to say it's like a pig with lipstick. We don't want that. We want to live out our lives completely sold out to God, completely in a place where we understand our position in God, and that everything that flows from our heart is because of relationship, because of understanding, and not out of tradition, not out of systems, not out of a set theology, that a way of that I'm supposed to think. But what is your relationship with God? See, these scriptures kind of invite us to a place where we examine ourselves. We examine not only our heart posture, but how we are presenting ourselves to God, how we're living out our lives to God. And another thing is how you're being seen by others. I always say to people that, you know, your life is on display, right? We all know that, right? Yes, okay. We're living epistles read by man, correct? Yeah. Amen. Okay. So what happens is, because we are read by man, if we go back and we look at the Pharisees in this story, what kind of letter are they saying to the people around them? Just imagine being in the crowd on that day when they travel from Jerusalem to Galilee just to see Jesus, to try to trip him up on some things that were not biblical, that were not founded in in God. But people are around watching, and they're like, okay, how is Jesus going to react? Jesus could have simply put them in their place and told them what the Word of God says, but he questions. Examine yourself. Take a mirror. Look at yourself. Are you walking how Christ intended you to, how God intended you to walk? Reconstruction is a place where it invites believers to get to the root of their foundation in God. And it also invites others who may have strayed away from God to come back to center themselves on the foundation of who he is. Ignoring the frills and thrills surrounding Christianity, what is the foundation of God's word? And it also invites those who don't yet have a relationship with God to find out what that is. And we're building it day by day. We're building it from the inside out, just like my vintage car that one day I will be able to reconstruct, that I will be able to remove all the rust. I will be able to give it new tires. I will be able to give it new engines. And it's kind of like that. It's like, don't take your faith and throw it away. Instead, get to the root. Rebuild it. Where there's places of hurt, get it repaired. And do it walking with God. So I'm just going to leave you with this. These are some things of building upon Jesus that I want you to take with you. Number one is invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of your journey. You cannot do reconstruction without the Holy Spirit. You can study everything that you want to study. You can get into the, dissect different understandings of the word, but you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides you in all truth. The next thing is that we need to let the scriptures be our foundation. You need to always let the scriptures be your foundation. Then we need to engage in fellowship with other faith believers. Was it Saturday? Saturday, I had the Connect group leaders over to my house just for some brunch. I wanted to just treat them and everything. And one of the things that we did, we talked about this series and how in this series we want to challenge people to look deepward. Look inside deeper to their faith. And if you're not a part of a Connect group right now, please sign up to be a part of the Connect group, because these next couple of weeks in this series, we're going to be diving through that. We're going to be going deep. We're going to be trying to answer some questions that's probably been on your heart and mind for quite some time, or to help you with the understanding of how to see God, how to see yourself in God, and to see how your foundation in Christ can be strong. It can be authentic. It can be, it can be life-giving. And then I would like for you guys to reevaluate your faith traditions. And even your cultural traditions. I know I grew up with a lot of cultural traditions that don't line up with God. It doesn't line up with where I am now in my faith walk. And I had to address those things. I literally had to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And some of the things are things, the traditions of family, things that that I've done since a child, that I've always seen taking place. But when I look back, even to understanding those traditions, I was like, well, that's not alignment with the Word of God, and that's not what alignment with where I'm going in the season, so I'm going to step away from that. It's going to, and some traditions are not so easy because they've been ingrained so deep, but I want you to just evaluate that. And test them against the word. Find scriptures that speak about those things and align them with that. Then I want you to do one more thing. I want you to examine your heart posture. How are you living out the word? Is it based on tradition? the way you've always seen things done? Or is it based on relationship, where God is leading you? Okay? I'm going to go through those again, since I don't see it. The first thing was invite the Holy Spirit to lead you, and that can be found in John 14:26. Let the scriptures serve as your foundation. You can find that in Psalms 119:105. Engage in fellowship with other believers. Acts 2:42 is a good example of that, and Proverbs 18:24. If you have all of these things taking place, this is a good foundation to start your reconstruction journey. And as I begin to close, I would like for the worship team to come on back. Reconstruction should be a place where we want to get to know God. We want to get to know the depths, the heights, and the weight of God's love for us. And we do that by starting the journey. Now, in this next couple of moments, I'm going to do an invitation to those who have been holding their traditions more tightly than they've been holding their relationship with God. And I know we have our prayer cards and everything for those, you know, we were praying for those who to get saved and things like that. But I would like for you guys to do me a favor today. I would like for you to get a prayer card and write down anything that you feel is hindering you from walking completely and wholly with God. Things that you might have questions about in your faith journey, things that you're like, God, I really need you to speak to my heart about these things. Write those things down. So let us be able to and just place it in the box, and we'll pray over them this week. Definitely, I know we're having a prayer night on Friday. Definitely, we'll be praying over those things. But I want you to think hard in these next moments. Where are you in your walk with God? Are you like the Pharisees that, you know, I know the word, but I have my own interpretation of what it means? And it might not be completely aligned with what God's word is. Or you might be in a place where people see me on the outside and they don't know what I'm struggling with on the inside. They have no idea what I'm fighting. They have no idea what's hidden beneath this veil. Or you can be one of those that's like, you know, only God knows. I'm in a position where people look up to me, and I can't show my vulnerability that I'm not who they think I am. But it doesn't matter who they think you are. It's who God thinks you are, who God knows you are. So re-encountering God, to get back your identity, to get back to the place where you can be the same on the inside as the out. And if there's anybody in this room who has strayed away or walked away because of their faith, this moment is for you as well. Even those who are like, I'm new, I don't truly understand this Christian faith thing, but I want to know more. I want to know more. Tell me more about it. So I'm going to do this invitation, and then during worship, feel free to grab a card. Write it down. Please, 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 please do not let this moment pass if you need it. Do not walk out of this door without surrendering whatever it is that you're carrying. I always say that the church is a hospital, I know we come to worship. It's the temple, and we come to worship. We come to learn the word and stuff like it and all of that. But at the same time, it is a place of healing. It's a place of breakthrough. But in order to get it, you have to see the doctor. You have to let him know what's going on. So don't walk around anymore with a limp. Let God fix it today. Okay? Amen? Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, in this moment, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his example of what true reconstruction should look like. So, Lord, in this moment, wherever each and every one of us is, Lord God, in our thoughts, in our beliefs, in our spiritual walk with you, Lord, I ask that you identify those areas that need to be not only uprooted, but repaired, rebuilt, redeemed. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to see that it is possible that through Jesus Christ that these things can happen. And I know the word today was one that just identified all the things that could be wrong. But in the midst of identifying the things that are wrong, he still was showing us the way to make it right. So, Lord, test our heart posture in this moment. Challenge our traditions, our beliefs, our way of doing things, our cultures. Challenge them in this moment, Lord God. Reveal it to us, Holy Spirit, what we need to lay down, what we need to give up, what needs to be uprooted, what needs to be laid down. Lord, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that your Holy Spirit just resonates through every heart and mind right now in this very moment. Lord, please don't allow anybody to leave this space without encountering you. Lord, I thank you for the one who walked away and is like, Lord, I want to come back to you. I want to understand truly what true foundation is. Show me. For the one who said, I don't understand this Christian walk, but I want to know more. Lord, bring them. For the ones who have been walking this Christian walk for quite some time, and they're like, Lord, I got questions. I have thoughts. I just don't know where to go, Lord God. Lord, I ask that within this moment, you start the process of revealing your word to them. That as they open your Bible, they go deeper into your word. You just reveal yourself more and more and more and more and more into them. So that their restoration will bring them back to you. So, Father, right now, I thank you. I give you praise for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.